Well, welcome back, everybody, to the Summer Feast Telethon, a production of the Shift Network. This is Ben Hart. I'm host of the Gen Y Shift series here at the Shift Network, and we're very happy to be back with you and have you all joining us. We've had a really packed summit so far, an amazing wide range of perspectives, and very happy to be continuing today with our special youth and young adult topics. Every Friday, we're going to be focusing on youth and young adults, and we have two great guests today who just bring a incredible depth of experience and wisdom from their work with youth around the world. So let me introduce them to you. First, we have Dr. Nina Meyerhoff. Nina is the president and founder of Children of the Earth and has made a life of advocating for children and youth. She is the co-author of Conscious Education, The Bridge to Freedom, and is recognized as an innovative educator committed to global responsibility through authentic learning. She's received many awards from her work, from the Mother Teresa Award to the Citizens Department of Peace Award to the International Educators Award for Peace, as well as my home state of Vermont passing a resolution which was honoring her for her life's work in peace. Children of the Earth houses approximately 30 youth hubs and chapters, such as those in Thailand, Nepal, Romania, Canada, Ghana, and many more. And the projects are carried out in the pursuit of building a world of unity with the awareness that peace can only begin from inner understanding that we're a global family. So from all that, you can see that Nina is a very committed and passionate world peacemaker. And Nina, it's a great pleasure to have you with us today. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure. I'm happy to be here, too.
Glad to hear it. So our second guest is Oran Cohen, who is a youth leader, a social entrepreneur, and a creative strategist. Since 2000, Oran has been designing and facilitating leadership and social innovation programs all over the world for youth in South Africa and Japan, the United States, Israel, Palestine, and many other countries. He's worked and consulted in both the private and public sectors and has collaborated on specific projects with municipalities as well as organizations. Oran is also the founder of the World Spirit Youth Council, which creates spaces and places for youth to experience and express their spirituality. And he's the co-founder of Boys to Men, Johannesburg, an organization that creates mentorship programs and ritualistic rites of passage for teenage boys. In 2011, he was chosen as one of 50 international evolutionary leaders by Deepak Chopra's nonprofit Evolutionary Leaders. And in 2012, the Schisterman Foundation chose him as one of 40 top young Jewish social innovators in South Africa. Oran, it is a pleasure also to have you with us. Thanks for being here.
My supreme pleasure. Great to be here.
Beautiful. Well, you two, from those bios, it's a great testament to the prolific work you're both doing in the world on behalf of peace and on behalf of the evolution of consciousness. So thank you both for who you're being. And I'd love to just start from the simple place of each of you sharing about what inspired you into the work you're doing in the world. I know you've led long, rich lives with many influences, but I'd just love to hear about what inspirations or realizations or experiences moved you to do what you do today. Nina, maybe we could start with you.
Sure. Long, long time ago, I went to a school called School of Humanity. And at that school, love and compassion and deep understanding was stressed. It was sort of a Summerhill school. And I experienced what I felt was needed in my life and in the lives of others. It was living as community and really fulfilling one's own purpose. And that was the beginning of my journey. I was about 13 years old at that time.
Beautiful. And Oran, would you like to share as well?
Sure. Also, can I start with Once Upon a Time? So I started my journey somewhat similarly. I mean, I've always felt a calling to be involved and to impact on our beautiful planet in some way. But when I was about 15, I started my personal spiritual journey with different teachers from the sort of ancient mystery schools. And it was like a duck to water. I felt completely connected to the kind of work that spirituality is about. And trying to fit into society was kind of hard as a youth. It was difficult because what I held as beliefs about the world, the universe, my heart, my destiny, the destiny of humanity, kind of didn't resonate with what I found myself in, which is the usual. School, peer pressure, drugs, all that kind of thing. And it was a long journey until I found a way to bring that spirituality into some kind of a constructive way in the world. And that happened when, at the age of 19, 20, I decided to, I was born in Israel and I was living in South Africa, and I decided to go back to Israel. And I started to work with Palestinian and Israeli youth, doing interfaith work. And our motto was a very beautiful one, was, may the otherness of the other not only be accepted, but celebrated. And that was one of the catalysts. Within a couple of months, I had the extreme pleasure of meeting somebody by the name of Nina Meyerhoff. I was invited to represent that organization that I was working with in Ghana. And there I met people that Nina had brought from all over the world. Rana Bilal Ahmad, who works in Pakistan with people in prison, who brought together 1,500 volunteers and took them into the prisons in order to work with any juveniles to catch them up on school if they've been arrested, etc. And my whole shift of life changed. I realized that I was kind of walking a very shallow way of being in the sense of what I could do in the world. I was living my spirituality, but I hadn't found a way to bring that into the world. And Nina was that first gateway, and I'm eternally grateful to her for that.
Beautiful. It's great to hear, and great
Thank
to hear
you.
How.
yeah, I wanted to say that we have complete resumes, but we've been together for over 10 years or so, really working together side by side, totally committed to the same vision. That's what holds us together. We're walking the path of bringing transformation to the planet, at the same time knowing that it comes from inner peace and inner understanding and a reflection of all the things that are needed in this world.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and
great.
I think this idea that what I experienced of not being able to fit into this world, having this heart that wanted to connect with others but didn't find a place, I think that's very much what our work is about, creating places and spaces for youth to experience and express their spirituality, because we believe that there is a potential blueprint for humanity, a different way of being, of seeing, of exchanging, of living. And our belief is that if we can create enough spaces for youth to access their own wisdom, their own genius, their own sort of puzzle in that blueprint, they will teach us what we need to learn, and humanity as a whole.
Yeah, that's great. And I'd love to hear more about how you go about creating the spaces and creating the rituals or whatever the methodologies you both use to help youth tap into that inner genius and begin to express it in the world. Could you share a bit about what the program structures look like and what the mindsets you use are?
Yeah, I would say in general that we really ask young people, what is the sense of who they are? What does spirit mean to them? And then going deeper, do you remember a sense of personal purpose in this world? And then from that place, developing skills to learn inner reflection, and at the same time then how to use those skills to connect with others and develop action-oriented projects that reflect your sense of value, so that it becomes a way of life, a lifestyle, a sense of, I know who I am, I know what I can offer this world, and I commit to do that. So, Oren, I would also suggest, you know, maybe if you'd like to talk about the interactive, innovative concepts behind some of this.
Sure, absolutely. So we believe that social innovation comes from an internal impulse, in the sense of that when we create enough space to connect, reflect, and act, which is one of our models, when we run workshops, when we run programs, we focus a lot around the idea that if we can create enough space to reflect within ourselves, in other words, go within, connect and realize and see the connectedness of things. You know, there's wonderful and system thinking. So if we can see how everything is connected to everything else, and that our mere breath, our mere way of being in the world can impact the whole, if we understand that, and then if we can then act on that reflection and that connection, if we can take some kind of action in the world, then we're doing our work. Then we're doing what we came here to do. And the beautiful thing is that it looks different for whoever, for every single person on the planet. And that's the gift. That's the uniqueness. That's the individuality that connects us to our indivisibility. The idea that the way that we connect and the way that we reflect and the way that you as an individual act is completely according to your soul path, according to your journey, according to the challenges that you have faced. So our work is very much to work with innovation, but in the sense of what is it that calls you to be moved in the world? And that requires you to quiet your mind. That requires you to become present. That requires you to challenge your assumptions, your perceptions of how the world should be or shouldn't be. You know, on one level, there is the things that we think we are. And then on another level, there are the things that we actually are. And those are the things that are kind of being educated into us. And the idea is that common sense, the thing that comes within us, that is that desire to contribute in the world, to bring ourselves to the world, that is what we need to create more space in our lives for, whether we're youth or not, to create spaces and places for us to experience and express ourselves, I think is the one thing that the planet is hungry for. So, yeah.
And we really invite young people to come into circle and mirror to each other what they deeply know and what they deeply remember, because especially if young people are listening to this call, all my years on this body and all my years on this planet, I know they're the engine that's going to bring change to the world. So it's our role as gatekeepers to say, don't imitate what's come before you. Please begin to evolve new systems that really look at the global community and understand the unity of all things, and so that we can have a life that works for all. So that, you know, and you are the ones. It's not us. We're the thought keepers, but not the, you know, the engine and the doing and the change will come from the next generation and the generation after that. So please, it's time.
We have a saying in Children of the Earth called Ancient Futures. The idea that the wisdom holders, the ones who have been around and who hold the wisdom, are there to serve the new generation, to serve you, the youth of the future. And no matter where you are and what you're doing, if you just connect with something that within you is calling you, if you just create space in your life for a little bit of reflection, wherever you are, and then follow that bliss, follow that magic, follow that desire to wherever it may lead you, the world will be a better place.
Absolutely. I'm wondering what you two would share with those in the older generations who are listening right now in terms of how to really build those partnerships and creating the shift that you're talking about, how to build those partnerships between the youth and the elders.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's recognizing the importance of the young people, but even going beyond that, creating environments so that activities can go on and they can be supported. What I know is young people don't have the finances to come together. They don't have the finances to build new actions, but if we can help sort of initiate that and be the liaison between the world of the elders and the adults and the young people, we can foster that they get to do what is really meant to be theirs, and not to suggest that the typical success profession model is the answer anymore, because we all know it isn't, and that the next generation will never, you know, live as well as financially as this past one. So what is it that really has meaning? And if we as adults can start to tell young people really what has meaning is one's own gratitude for one's own life, the sense of inner stability, and the sense of connectivity. And if we believe that and share that with young people and create ways for them to experience it, we'll be doing our work as elders. And then there are projects that we can do together, you know. But Oran, you want to jump in?
Yes, I'm here. Absolutely. Nina, I definitely resonate with what you're saying. I think that, you know, when I work as a social innovator and when I work as a consultant organization to see adults, quote unquote, and the challenge of being an adult, the, you know, the commitment, the obligations that an adult has with children, with a house, etc. And what happens is something sometimes dies in the individual, a certain hope or a certain zest or a certain spark. So my call would be to say that adults have an opportunity to find their own youth, their own beauty, their own spark by looking at the younger generation and creating, making possible for them a space to shine. And then what happens is that we can shine together. There are a lot of organizations that I work with that sometimes we bring those people into places like Children of the Earth to say, well, here's your opportunity to contribute. Here's how you can assist. This is what you can make possible for others. So it's kind of like the idea that we could learn from each other is what I would say.
Yeah. And I think that's true. Like, I think as adults, we have a lot of experience, we have a lot of connections, we have a lot of skills, and the young people have a lot of vision, and they have energy. It's a lot of energy, and it can be combustible, and it doesn't have to be a resistive, negative energy. It can be an energy that builds and creates and transforms.
That's great. Thank you both. One thing that strikes me as you're both speaking to this is just the amount of connection you have to youth around the world and the number of people that you've seen in your work. And I'm wondering what patterns you feel are present. You know, we have such a specific time in history right now as consciousness is quickening and people are, you know, waking up to peace and love more rapidly. And I'm wondering what challenges you're seeing youth facing at this specific time, and also what inspirations you feel like are kind of thematic around the world.
So I just came back from Europe, and I was there about a month and a half, and my sense is it's just starting to be like little fires all over the place, but it needs organizing and pulling together. Like Oran mentioned, the Evolutionary Leaders Group, that those of vision coming together and collaborating and helping have happen. And in Europe, where things are becoming dire, especially in the, you know, the lower European countries, you know, there's such a focus on what's going to happen economically. But it's almost a challenge, therefore, to look at how do you feel stable no matter what the environment is. And then in Africa, and I'll let, of course, Oran speak, but I've spent time in different countries, and one sees that young people, you know, that have less often are much closer in relationship, and how we need to learn that, but at the same time, they're always feeling removed from everything that's happening in the Western world, and they're always trying to catch up to us. You know, and if we could help them understand they have great gifts themselves, you know. And what we see in Asia, I was in India for about a month and a half, is that sense of that's their historical reference point, spirituality and peace. And the thing is, for them, they associate it with sitting in the cave in poverty, and how to change that model and say, you know, that's who you are, but it can be expressed in a different format. It doesn't mean deprivation and isolation. So there are things happening all over the planet, for sure, for sure. Oran, you want to jump in?
Sure, absolutely. I see it as kind of a restlessness, something that exists within the youth that is calling for something else. The unhappiness of the current structures of the way our world is in. I mean, and that's very clear when you look at the Arab Spring and you look at the Occupy movement, et cetera, and there's a call to burst open, to break open the systems and the mechanisms by which our world is run, which is based on mental models, which are based on paradigms of living, understanding, thinking that we're separate from one another. The challenges that we face, I think, as youth, we are more comfortable with ambiguity, and our journey is to find this middle path between chaos and order, between systems and freedom. So you look at the Occupy movement, for example, and you say, well, what is the potential that can come out of that? Oh well, if the organization, if the systems, if the mechanisms by which people self-organize could evolve, could develop, could almost like an organism grow, if we could learn new ways of structuring that are not as rigid as the sort of the current ones, but are not completely chaos. They're somewhere in between. They are this beautiful dance where evolution takes place. I think that is the greatest call of our world right now, is to find the space where the heart, the soul, the heart, and the mind and the structure and meet. So the sort of how to have our head in the stars and our feet on the ground. You know, as society, we find ourselves sometimes either rebelling either against one or the other. And I think it's very, very exciting what's happening. This time of revisioning, reimagining, and what we can be and how we can do it. I think that's a big one, is the doing. How is it that we're going to do this wonderful thing? Because I think we have the vision, we have the potential, we have the passion, we have something that just gets us up in the morning. But what is going to happen in that space between the old system dying and the new system being awakened? And what does it take from each one of us? What do we have to bring inside of us in order to pay our attention to the movement that is taking place anyway? How do we add our voice and add our piece to that puzzle? It's, for me, the most exciting thing that's happening right now.
That's great, and that actually beautifully segues into my next question, which is, you know, certainly related to the way the systems are breaking down and new things are now emerging, and that pivot point we find ourselves in, and just really thinking about the idea of, you know, the hierarchy of needs and how there are so many youth and young adults who, you know, aren't able to find jobs and aren't in, you know, economies that are working well, and so there's this lack of a foundation while there's all this inspiration arising. And I'd be curious sort of what advice you have to young people in those positions, as well as what you've seen in your work in terms of how people are kind of confronting that transition space.
Well, you know, there are lots of different responses to that question. First of all, what I see in terms of financial success, the best model is to create new ventures, you know? And, you know, like I think the youth are way ahead of us in terms of what, you know, Oren calls social innovations. I mean, you know, their mind is becoming a global mind, and they know how to think differently and work via computer in a different way that's not just emails back and forth. And so that they need to keep taking technology to its next level, and, you know, it will transform and really help them in terms of occupations. The other thing is learning to live with less and really feeling that of success is not only about money. One of my great experiences in India, not this trip, another trip, was when I realized that people honored the person they thought was the best human being in the community. That was the person who sat in the front row, versus in our religious traditions, etc., it's whoever gives the most money, you know, to the church or to the synagogue, etc., gets the front seat, because, you know, money is power in our culture. And just to be around people that understand that that can't be the criteria anymore. So we have to create new criteria of what is success. And then we have to really support young people in exploring new ways of living, you know, how to manage, how to live on this earth. If we make all our sustainable models be more expensive, like our local produce, et cetera, you know, that's not going to work. So we have to rearrange some of that stuff. It's called slow money, you know. So those are some answers, but there are many questions, you know. But we are more than our money system. Money is just a piece of paper exchange, and we're printing it like crazy, you know. And if our country can go into debt like this, you know, what does it all mean? Where does the house of cards fall? So, you know, young people have to start to think differently and not fight the system, but start to think about systems that can emerge that really are going to be self-sustaining and have some kind of synthesis of different values within the system.
Yeah. I wholeheartedly agree with that, Nina. I think that those are some very powerful things that you, I think, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. And that's what's so exciting about the times that we're living in is that, that in a way that that necessity draws us towards new opportunities. So I think, this idea of less youth being able to find jobs, et cetera, is that what we're seeing is more innovation, more social entrepreneurship, mm-hmm. more people taking initiative. I think the call is for us to learn the art of cross-disciplining. The education that we're getting right now is kind of very linear in nature. And I think we need to learn to think in spirals. We need to learn to see in different dimensions. We need to have the language of systems thinking, and at the same time create space for us to meditate on what that means as a spiritual being having a human experience. What does it mean that humanity is an organism evolving itself, that it has a consciousness within it? So how do we understand the quantum physics? In other words, can we do what it takes in order to learn the pieces of a new puzzle? Can we spearhead that? So there are a lot of wonderful initiatives taking place. Like there's, I don't know if you've heard of them, but there's something called talents, which are actual new currency that is being created. You can go online and research it, which is youth creating a new currency of what it means to exchange something with someone. You know, exactly, the house of cards are falling, and it is up to us to create those new maps. And we need to learn to find our own esteem. We need to move beyond looking at MTV and VH1 and, you know, Apple Mac stores to find our identity. We need to look at something deeper within us that is calling us to take action. And that looks like, that's the question. What does it look like? And that is so exciting that we almost don't know. And if we can just hold that and be willing to sit in the question. So to use out there, I would say, be willing to sit in the question. Be willing to sit with both and. Do not rebel against something, but find a way into it so that it can be transformed. There's this beautiful idea of changing the game from within. You know, we're constantly trying to change it from outside of it, but how can we change if we're not actually in it, right? So this idea, if enough of us can create the space within ourselves to realize what it is that is being called from us, from within, and then take that action in the world in such a way that it impacts on the system, on the structure. And that's the space where social innovation lies. That's where spiritual innovation lies. And I think we haven't even begun to unearth this idea of spiritual innovation as a conscious discipline in our world. And so in Children of the Earth as well, we're looking at what does it mean? How can we marry the space between the offline and online? Because, you know, we're so connected to this internet, yet it ungrounds us. It takes us away from nature and beauty. How do we connect those pieces? And how do we create an evolution? Evolution stroke revolution with that space.
Yeah, and I think so well said. Another piece with it is not to buy into fear, because the fear creates the whole negativity and the sense of separation. If trust and faith allow a person to create a life that can work for themselves. But, you know, you really have to do your personal work around that. And it can't, it's not just airy-fairy. It's really a sense of how can I get in touch with loving myself and loving others, and then watching what emerges on the screen and then working with that, you know? I mean, life is a process. It's not an end goal.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's such a big point of we each have to do our personal work, our personal spiritual journey of uncovering what it is that are the repeating patterns in our life. And also, absolutely, to move beyond the fear, but also dare to feel the fear, because the fear is real. And once we have an opportunity to express it, then it can transform itself.
It's beautiful. Thank you both. I really love the amount to which you are both pointing to the significance of the deep listening and the deep internal work and the spirituality and creating space for young adults and youth to be going into that, because it definitely feels like that's what is needed as we shift consciousness on this planet. So thank you. I want to let people know who are listening in that in just a few minutes we're going to open it up to questions. So if you're on the webcast, feel free to start typing your questions in there. And those of you on the phone, in just a few minutes, we'll ask you to raise your hand to ask your question. But before we do that, Ron and Nina, I just want to ask you, you know, coming out of the programs that you're running and the youth that become more connected and more inspired, I'm wondering if you could just share a bit more about the innovations you've seen. You know, Oran, you mentioned the currency that's emerging. And I just think having those inspiring, innovative stories is such a beautiful example of the work you're doing, and also just galvanizing all of our passion.
Yeah. I've just been in touch with a little girl. She's 11 years old, and she's in Dubai, Kikisham, and she has been collecting clothes and food and going into the poor areas and giving them out, and then it's just a process, and planting trees and getting her classmates to do things with her. And every weekend they go out and they meet with other kids and work to inspire them, and teaching reading and, you know, all the skills. She's 11 years old. Then we have a young man in Nepal, and he went back to his mountain area, and as a result of his deep search and his inspiration, He has now worked in 20 communities in the mountain areas where there were no more schools and developed schools for over 2,000 young people to go to school, including girls, which was not really typical at all, and has found grants to support all of this. So what I'm saying, it can be very realistic, on-the-ground kind of activities. At the same time, it can be forward-thinking, new understanding, and new working concepts. It's just, it's amazing what young people can do if given the opportunity and the support and the, you know, the belief of us to support that. Oran, do you want to talk about some of the innovative activities?
Sure, absolutely. So at Children of the Earth, one of the things that we do is we don't tell people what it is that they should do. So what we find is that we have somebody who goes into Nepal and creates schools, because that is what's happening inside of them. That's their story. That's their piece of the giving. I think there's some exciting innovations that potentially we know about. Talents is one of them, as I said. Another one is around how do we capitalize on what is happening online, which is a mirror of what is available inside of us. So this idea that the internet connects all the pieces and that we can access it at any time. That simple idea, if we ask those questions. So a beautiful answer to that is avaaz.org, which is this wonderful petition process where they have capitalized the internet in such a way that they can access millions and millions of people. I think they have just hit 500 million subscribers around the world, where if there is something happening in the world that they want to shift, that they want to change, whether it's some law being passed that the collective wouldn't resonate with, they use the power of the collective in order to impact that, because that's what it's about, really. How do we as a whole create and vision what it is that we want in our world? Another is Nipun's organization. Nina, what is it called again?
Which one? I couldn't
Nipun's
hear you.
Nipun's organization?
Charity
service,
Focus.
Service space, if I'm not mistaken. Charity Focus, that's right. Charity Focus, they've built a complete online space where it's just focused on giving. Nobody makes money in all the initiatives and all the processes that they do, because they've found a different way of using their talent.
I was going to add that, you know, it's really up to the young people to begin to imagine how we can work together. So if we've seen like what happened in Iran when, you know, through Twitter, et cetera, or in Egypt, that the thing is now to learn what is the question that we can be asking young people that can ignite their fire and bring them into the collective and create the change. So we're asking ourselves, and we invite anybody else who has an idea around this, to ask, you know, what is the question that can create the movement that will bring the change? Because that's what we need. We need something in
Absolutely.
The middle, the fire.
Absolutely. And we need to learn to stay in our curiosity and follow our curiosity. And therefore follow those questions that come up for us.
That's great. Thank you. What I'd love to do now is open it up to questions from people. So if you're on the live line on the phone, hit *2 to raise your hand and ask a question. And if you're on the webcast, go ahead and type it in. We'll be happy to read it out for you. All right, so we have, I believe it's Philippe. Go ahead, Philippe, you're live.
Hi, how are you today?
Great.
Can you hear me?
Sure can.
Oh, hello, great. Philippe. We're great. I'm a bit cold because it's cold in Africa, believe it or not.
No, I'm calling from Canada, from British Columbia, and, you know, unfortunately, I joined in a little late. I missed the first 15, 20 minutes, but you have taken my brain and turned it around here this morning. I just so love what you're talking about. And earlier today, I was on YouTube and listening to a lecture by Max Egan from Australia, and he was talking about sovereignty, that each individual's soul is a sovereign in their own right, and they have a right to exist and a right to live and eat and breathe and not be intimidated by our governments, which are corrupt and bought by corporations, which are acting in non-human interests. And I'm wondering if either of you are aware or understand this sovereign thing, because I've just been exposed to it and, you know, really don't fully understand it. But it seems to me that the direction we're moving ahead in life is, you know, not to follow the brainwashing of the money system. And we have to, you know, just sort of what you're talking about is, you know, we have a right to stand in the sunshine and to work and to breathe and not be intimidated by credit card companies and banks and laws and things like that. I'm so excited to hear your talk. I was wondering if you could add any more.
Hi, this is Nina. When you talk about soul sovereignty, I mean, to me, what that connotes is that we're all souls walking planet Earth, yeah?
Yeah.
And we're also spirit, and spirit is interconnected because it's energy. But our souls are born to be who we are. They're the character of the essence of who we are. And therefore, and then there's the personality, which evolves as a result of the many experiences we have as we walk here. And so the question is to remember our soul and our soul's purpose. And I don't use the words that you would against the whole system, but rather that the more we become in touch with what's going inside of ourselves, the more we become expressive of that. And then we see that we're not against, but we're for something, and that we really are the voice of tomorrow.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This idea of you know, I see it within myself as well. I often want to rebel, you know, break the system. I want to say down with the leadership. And then I go, oh, wait a minute. If everything is one, and this is a part of me, by rebelling against it, what do? I create more of it. So what can I do? I can actually own it. I can take it from an outside image, an outside symbol, and go, well, what is it with self? Well, maybe it is the way that I control myself. Maybe it is the way that I limit my internal freedom, and therefore the collective manifestation of that, the collective reflection of that is this. So there's a beautiful process called Ho'oponopono, which we actually introduce youth to in our workshops, which is the simple idea that if we are all one and everything is within everything else and we are spiritual beings having a human experience, then what is our role in that? So Ho'oponopono says, well, can you forgive the part within yourself? Can you love and forgive the part within yourself that has created this ease, this thing that you are dissonant with? Can you find a way to bring it inside of yourself so that it may heal and transform from within? And then take actions that create the vision and the future that you desire. So that way you're not a slave to the thing that you rebel against. Because sometimes, you know, what we rebel against, we're actually somehow attached to, because we're so busy creating banners to hold up to say no to that. So I think we need to hold these concepts with a little bit of lighter hands and find a way to just see how it's all connected to ourselves and our internal story of our lives.
Yeah, the Ho'oponopono is one of my favorite exercises because it's what it is cleaning yourself out. And if you can imagine, it's like scrubbing from inside out. And as you eliminate perceptions that don't really foster your growth, it allows more and more light to enter into you. And as the light enters into you, the clearer you become. The clearer you become, the more able you are to create ways of being that are more positive.
That's great. Thank you both.
And I also want to share.
Go ahead, Oran.
I just wanted to say one other thing. The magnificent, you know, this work that we do, we find ourselves around wonderful people like Jean Houston and Barbara Marx Hubbard. And what I find in these wonderful leaders in our world that are changing things, they've done their internal work, and then they find one thing that they go to the depths of, and then they just contribute through doing that again and again and again. It's like it doesn't matter what it is, we can find the freedom in whatever, we can create freedom for others and ourselves in whatever we find our bliss in.
Beautiful. Amen to that. Well, thanks, Philippe, for your great question. I'm going to take a question from the webcast for you both. This is from Nancy in Oakland, and she's asking, do you have any suggestions on how we can implement some of your programs with youth in Oakland?
Yeah, we establish chapters, and we have a whole chapter book with guidelines. And the most important part of it is there's a set of ethics and principles, sort of standards, so that you have this vision of what you want to live by as a collective, as a group, and then how to run a meeting, and then how to evolve projects. Like we have a teddy bear project that was for children in Haiti, and the kids in Haiti got the teddy bears with little notes from kids here, and then they named the bears, and then they wrote emails. And so there are many projects that have evolved. We have a help project in Nepal. We have a project in Rwanda. So you can help each other, or you can help within your own area. You know, you can do action-oriented, and also like in Canada, because we had a hub in Canada, and they brought in a Buddhist leader, a lama, and then they brought in a Native American chief, and, you know, they had different guests so that they could expose themselves to different ways of thinking. So we have a book on how to do that. We have lots of materials available if somebody wants it. It's coeworld.org.
And the core idea is to take spiritually inspired action so that the heart and the mind, sometimes it's about that connection of how do we bring our souls, how do we bring our spirit into the way that we contribute in the world. And all of our projects align in that way, but there's a lot of freedom in the way that they can be expressed.
That's great. Thank you both. I have another question here for you. And let's see if this works. This is a question from Betsy saying, what do you think about the ideas of Rianne Eisler and economics and how her ideas can turn things around and make them more positive? I'm wondering if either of you are familiar with Rianne Eisler's work on economics.
I know her work, but I didn't know she did work on economics. I knew her work on partnerships. So I'm not sure. Maybe we could get some more information.
Yeah, I'm not familiar either. So Betsy, if you want to clarify it all, that'd be great. I think what I'll do actually is I have a question that I want to ask. We're asking every presenter, and I think it'd be a great time to transition to that. And this is just kind of leaving people with what one or two action steps would you recommend listeners take based on what you've been sharing about work with youth and with young adults?
Well, one of the things that I'm thinking about is that people really take the time to think about, are they really willing to serve the young people? That it's not to find their own personal identity as much as it is, are they willing to serve? And if they're willing to serve, then to have meetings with young people and start to ask the right questions and give them the space. Advocate for them to come on boards within their towns and cities and school boards, etc. Give them places where they can have voice. And if they're interested, they can come to Children of the Earth, and we gladly give them some direction. But, you know, there's so much. We were interested in doing a Guatemala program. You know, if people want to start to work together, there are lots of avenues.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Are you on? Are you there? Did we lose him?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Oh, there you are. Hi. Yeah. Did you have thoughts about how people could step in and start to help?
Yeah. Answering your question, the first thing that comes up for me is, and I'll speak from the youth vantage this time, Christina looks at the adult, create a daily practice. Create a space every day where you connect to yourself, connect to God, connect to a beautiful tree, find a way to sink into your heart and feel your body, and walk barefoot and experience the sun on your skin, and to create a bit of time where you can connect with what's true for you beyond the craziness of life. Find that space and then listen. And listen and learn to listen and evolve the way that you listen. Listen to your soul, listen to your spirit, and let that move you. Let that be something that allows you to move your hands and to think and to act in the world. Let it be that. Let it be that simple. Yeah, that's what I would say.
Beautiful. Well, thank you both so much for the work you're doing in the world and coming on here and sharing your wisdom and sharing your experiences. It's great, and I feel the ripples going out throughout the community. So thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to say a summer
thank you so much
is a
for
wonderful
hosting.
Idea. Yeah, and let there be
amazing
peace forever.
Yeah. I'd actually...
Let it be
occurs,
on earth and let it start with me.
Yeah, beautiful. It occurs to me just recently in the United States, in Colorado, we had a large shooting occur at the opening of the Batman movie. And, you know, that it being a Batman movie, it definitely feels related to youth issues. And I think it'd just be great to take a moment of silence together as a community in this intentional way. Just a moment of silence for peace for all those directly affected and also the collective, which is undoubtedly affected. So just invite us all to take 30 seconds of silence right now and in that space of peace within ourselves and for the world. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank so,
you
much
so much
suffering. Huh?
Yeah. Well, again, Oran and Nina, so great to connect with you both, and big, humble bow at both your feet for who you're being in the world, and I'm sure we'll be having you on again and again, so look forward to more.
Thank you. And a giant group hug.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Ciao. Bye to you both.
Bye.
Hey, everybody, and I just wanted to quickly mention what we have coming up next on the Summer of Peace. On Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific, we're going to have David Nickel and Leslie Nihon on from the Gaia Field Project, which is a fantastic organization, and they're going to be doing a special global attunement for peace. So if you're available, please join us for that and link our collective hearts and intentions, and then we'll be back on Monday again after that. So have a beautiful day, everybody, and thanks so much for being here.